Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
You know I'm trying. What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, St. Patrick's Day edition, and hope you're enjoying some of that corned beef and cabbage and some of that green beer and the green river in Chicago. And we're just, having a good old time. And, as we continue to follow these markets that continue to kind of stay in a range, continue to lose volatility, continue to not do much, but they kind of feel like they're getting ready to move to make some sort of a breakout in one direction or the other. And of course, trying to predict that direction is always a problem. And we can never be able to exactly say, you know, when they're going to break out or when they're going to do what, but they certainly look and feel like they're going to move a little bit. And kind of like March Madness, a little bit of action. And some of the things that broke out, the Northwestern Wildcats get into their first tournament and win their first game. And the typical March Madness. And of course the markets themselves, other than going straight up for 4 months or 6 months now, have their own madness. And I think really what we're looking at is real madness in the market. I mean, you can only assume so long and so much and realize how ridiculous this is. But again, I think the biggest point here is that we can never assume what the market is going to do to a specific angle. We have markets that go up, markets go down. Over time, markets just go up. But you get into these patterns, and as you look at what is doing here, and we're waiting, and we're excited, and the buyers are excited, and they're excited because they've got potentially many, many good things to look forward to. They're excited because the potential the potential new health care, the potential tax cuts, the potential, and it's we're betting a lot on what may happen. And I think this is one of the things that you look at and you say, wow, okay, this is, this is something. But then remember, there's always the laws of diminishing returns that we would look at. And when you build something up so greatly and you push so hard to make these things happen, and you have so many people trying to grab onto the market merry-go-round and the hope, the hopes and the dreams of where we are, and you wonder, can that that appetite be taken care of? Can it be satisfied? And I'd have to say no, that the appetite cannot be satisfied for what we've seen and what we're pricing in. And this is a big, this is always a big thing, is expectations. And that brings in the emotional side of anything. But in this case, markets. And, you know, we see this happen time and time again throughout many different asset classes, and not even necessarily asset classes, but even, you know, toys, you know, for toys for kids, you know, that you get the hot toy and everybody's got to have it. And then all of a sudden it's dead. You know, you've got the, you know, if you remember, I forget the name of the game already, but King's Games, whatever, they had the hottest game ever and you never even hear about it anymore. And that's always a concern, you know, when things reach climax and, you know, the climax, we don't know when the exact climax is going to be. But what we do know is that eventually it will climax. You know, the play will end, the movie will end, and typically markets do have sad endings when they end. Now again, this is the big emotional battle that people have to make, and this is where, you know, you always have to be concerned about how are you managing your money, because you get these big moves, and you know, a lot of people have made a lot of money in here, and it wasn't that long ago. I mean, you know, the late 1990s and, you know, the early 2000s, people made a lot of money in the markets, but unfortunately they didn't keep it because they didn't know when to get out. They didn't know that, you know, at some time the market would have to sell off. And one of the things that you look at and you figure is very simple. We have a market that is way up. And if you don't realize and take some profits, you're probably going to be hurt later and not be happy. And one of the bigger problems is that, you know, you get you pay the taxes on the big money that you've been making. And then when the market crumbles and you lose it all, you're getting double taxed. It's like double taxation, all right? And that's one of the big problems in the housing bubble. You know, people were making a lot of money, but then they lost it all, and the write off is not the same. So it's, you know, we're not negative. I mean, you know, obviously we're positive about, you know, America. We're positive about what we're going, but again, you build up so far. And you get these, you know, these numbers. I mean, you know, if you think about just your house, you know, if you have a home, you know, and you think about what the value was in 08 and what the value is today, and you realize that most likely that value you saw in 08, you may never see again. And that's the over pumping of any market. You know, I mean, you look at any market over time, and you know, you see that they can get them to a point where they pump them up. And it's the same in sports. You know, you pump up a team. You know, they're going to be the greatest, they're going to be the greatest, they're going to be the greatest, and then they end up disappointing. You know, it's almost every year at this time of year in March Madness where, you know, they find one, the hot sleeper team, and they pump them up, and they go out and blow out in the first round. Now, this year's for a hot team, Middle Tennessee, they won the first round game, so... You know, we'll see if they can go any farther than that. But it's always interesting because we talk about expectations and then reality. And the expectations are X. And then if they don't meet expectations or they just meet them, then you end up with Y. And it's why, oh, why did I blow my brains out once again? I could not take it out. I did not take my money. And I'm here sobbing on the sidelines because I got greedy. The greedy, one of the two biggest things in the world are fear and greed. And right now the greed is rolling in, but you know, it is St. Patrick's Day. So go out and enjoy, have a little corned beef and cabbage, have a couple of green beers. And glad you're here listening to the Bubba Show with Todd Bubba Horowitz or will be Todd O. Bubba Horowitz today. And make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. And of course this weekend you've got the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba's Bottom Line, really taking off and having a good time doing it. So check it out at bubbatrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break. We will be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. It's the time. Welcome back to The Bubba Show on St. Patrick's Day. Daddy's Day, and this is Todd O'Bubba Horowitz, and you know, we're sitting here enjoying a little beverage as we start to get ready and prep up for the St. Paddy's Day party later, and you know, because we're all Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and you know, I tell you, someone who's probably not so happy on St. Paddy's Day, and that would be Bill Ackman from Pershing Square, the big money manager, and has just completed a cycle, the cycle of doom, the cycle of disaster. And I think one of the things you want to look at from this perspective is the mistakes that he made. Now, again, we cannot take anything away from Mr. Ackman. I mean, he's built a phenomenal fund, right? So we're not going to say, you know, anything against him from that point of view. He's literally a genius, because he has built this perfect, this terrific fund. But of course, you know, one thing that we all have to realize, and you know, we discuss it a lot here on the show, because it's important to understand on how markets function and how markets work. And you know, the markets themselves, you know, they do the same things over and over again. All right. And you know, if you don't realize that, then you end up, you know, in a pretty big disaster, a pretty big problem. And you know, one of the things that, you know, that I, you know, like to talk about and make sure you understand is that there's times that you have to exit and you have to just take your losses. So what did Bill Ackman do that was so tragic? Well, let's look at it. Okay. He first got involved in Herbalife, and he called Herbalife a Ponzi scheme, which he may or may not be right. And, you know, again, we don't know, but he did call it a Ponzi scheme, and he decided to get short the market in Herbalife in the mid-30s, and, you know, nobody knows the exact price, but he did sell it, and of course, immediately on the other side of that trade came Bernard Loeb and Carl Icahn, who really bullied Bill Ackman, and, you know, that stock has gone up to into the 70s, now trading in the 50s. And of course, Bill Ackman refused to get out. He continued to add into his position. And then of course, finally, you know, still involved, still calling it a Ponzi scheme. But of course, the joke is on him, because it's still going up, and he's losing right now based on the records that we can see, $212 or $13 million. Now, again, that doesn't make him a bad guy, but what it does make him is somebody who let his emotions get the best of him. And when you think about it, all right, he got emotional about the stock. He put himself in a position, okay, that he's getting crippled, and you know, it's not all his money. I mean, he's running for investors, but his investors are still with him. But here he is; he's losing $211 million, and he's continuing to fight it. And you know, we talk a lot about on the show, and you know, we do a lot of education about you can't do those kind of things. You got to just sometimes you just take your loss and you move on. You cannot let the emotion of the market, you cannot let the your opinion get so drastically in the way, because even if you turn out eventually being right, you might go broke first. And even a guy like Bill Ackman is not immune to potentially going broke. And you follow up the Herbalife action, and he gets into Valeant Pharmaceuticals. Now, Valeant was an interesting story. I mean, that stock has gone, you know, from rags to riches, and then riches back to rags. And you know, we look at that stock over a, you know, let's say a 10-year period type of thing, I mean, that stock was at one time down at $6, all right, and it got up to 263, and now it's at 11, all right? Now, you know, Bill Ackman, I picked that up, and again, I don't know what he does for his research, and again, I'm not criticizing because the man is obvious. Again, he's built one hell of a firm. So, but at the end of the day, here's a guy that gets in and gets totally stubborn on this thing and tries to force it, tries to make it happen, and $4 billion later, he finally dumps. So the lesson, the lesson for today on that type of stuff is very simple, all right? You have to be disciplined in this business. You have to be able to take your losses when they come, and you have to move on, because the only currency that we have in trading is our capital. And if we don't conserve that capital, and I don't know what kind of damage that did to him, I don't know what it did to his investors. You know, we don't, you know, a lot of that stuff is private, so we don't hear so much. But here's a guy who tried to fight the market. And one thing we know for sure is that the market is always right. You know, you can call Herbalife a Ponzi scheme. I mean, listen, the Fed is a Ponzi scheme, but it continues to propel the market higher. You can call Herbalife a Ponzi scheme. You can say Valeant was the greatest pharmaceutical company ever. But at the end of the day, when you lose $4 billion, $4 billion, I mean, when you lose, you know, $4 billion, what are you thinking about, all right? And I always wonder, you know, a guy like that, all right? You know, I mean, again, he got to where he got, so did he not think that, you know, maybe he should, you know, cut his losses? And so he finally puked out at what we'll call the bottom for now. Now, they may go out of business. They may be nothing. But certainly, you know, Valiant might be a good play down in here, at least for a gamble, because he's now puked out. And typically, no matter who you are, when you finally puke out, and I think he puked out on Wednesday, all right, and, you know, here he is in at 166, out at 11, $4 billion later, and, you know, it becomes a bigger disaster. But he got emotional. He did not use discipline. He was not patient. He made every classic mistake. So what I'm really pointing out here is that no matter how smart you are, no matter how good you are, no matter what you have, you still are just a pawn in the market game. And if you let the markets get the best of you, what it usually happens, you get choked off like a chicken. And that is something that, you know, we discuss all the time. You have to be able to take the emotion out of the market. You have to take the emotion out of your trading, because emotional trading will kill you, because you can't see clearly the problems that you are facing if you are becoming very emotional in the markets. And that's, I believe, was at the end of the day that Bill Ackman became very emotional about his position. And I don't know him personally, so I can't speak exactly, but you can't make up many reasons why you would choose to lose $4 billion on an investment and continue to fight it all the way down, especially if you just back that up with Herbalife. Now, I'm sure there's been some good ones he's made in between there, but, you know, Herbalife over $200 million and then $4 billion, you have to wonder, what the hell was he thinking, right? I mean, you know, again, I'm just saying, you know, it has to be something that you have to look at from just a pure dollars and cents standpoint. But again, you get stubborn, you have to be right. And of course, you find out that, oopsie, I'm not right. And that's the issue. So, you know, just think about that the next time you make a bad trade, because obviously you're not going to make it for $4 billion, but even $4,000. You know, make sure you watch and take care of yourself and don't fall into that trap and let the markets take advantage of you. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz and LibertyTalk.fm. You can download The Bubba Show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And our brand new hit sensation, soon to be Emmy Award winning, Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, St. Patrick's Day edition. And of course, you know, we got March Madness going on, and we gave you 2 out of 3 winners yesterday. And in case you're one of those financial investors, we'll give you another three trades today. And today we like Michigan State. Today we like Creighton, and we like Kansas State, 3 underdogs, which is, if you've ever listened to the Sporting Edge, that's kind of my way. It's the live underdog. But let's talk about some things that are potentially live underdogs. And, you know, if we look into the world of commodities, you know, you have markets that move up, markets move down, just like anything else. And, of course, 5 years ago, gold was never going down again. And, of course, I was on CNBC Asia, and I said, look, you know, guys are calling for gold 5,000, whatever. And I go, look, it's all good, but to me, it looks like it's a little bit overbought up in here, and, you know, you should look for a little bit of correction. 5 years later, we may be coming out of the correction, and again, this is always the case, and, you know, you've got a market that is, you know, kind of hovering, and it's had some pretty good moves, and certainly had a big move off of the Fed, and another big move yesterday. And certainly, you know, looking for a spot to buy. I mean, do believe that it's got one more move to the downside, but certainly would be looking at it. But here again, stay away from the idiots. Stay away from the guys that are calling for gold 10,000. All right. And it doesn't mean it will never get there, but you're not getting there tomorrow. So stay away from those dopes. I mean, again, they may be smart people. I'm not criticizing anybody. But to make a stupid call like gold 10,000 is about as moronic as you can get, because again, it might get there, but if we're getting to 10,000, you know how much money we can make trading it to 10,000. So, anyways, you know, the commodity space is very interesting right now, and you know, commodities are a great spot, a great alternative investment for many of us, and I think you're going to be looking for a place to invest, you know, over time when the markets do start to correct, and they will. I think you're going to all be looking for alternative spaces. But one of the things I always like to talk about is, you know, when you look at the commodities, like, you know, let's say corn, wheat, soybeans, coffee, any of the major staples in which we eat, we consume. All right, you know, one of the things that we can do, you know, it's like buying a stock. All right, you can buy these products when they're depressed. Now, I'm never a big fan of shorting these for the long term, because there could be shortages, and we don't want to be a Bill Ackman and get stuck to have to make that big decision. You know, and you don't have to go back too long ago, you know, because soybeans were at, you know, I think they were over $20 at one time. Wheat was over $14 at one time. And, you know, if you look at the hog market, I mean, you know, the hogs were $1.30. And if you look at feeder cattle was, you know, $2.50. So we've all been obviously dramatically below that. But when you get down to a certain level, and, you know, when you look back at this rally, and we've been buyers of a lot of these things at depressed levels and sellers at expensive levels. But, you know, you can use these as a very good investment tool when you get to a certain level. So, for example, you know, corn, you know, in the mid threes towards the bottom end of $3. All right. That's a pretty good spot to step in. And I don't care how bad it looks. Usually you can figure that's going to be a fairly good area to look at. You know, when wheat was in the threes, that was a pretty good spot that, you know what, maybe we're going to be okay in a buyer here. And that's the things that you look at, because we know that, you know, certainly the demand is, you know, going to still be there. You know, remember, we're going to eat. We're going to consume these goods. It's not like you can produce them. They have to be grown. You need good things. So I think that this is one of the mistakes that we make. I mean, for example, if you want to control, you know, some corn, you know, it wouldn't cost you very much. I mean, the entire contract right now, corn at $3.60, the whole contract is only worth $18,000 if it goes to zero. Now, are we going to go to zero? I don't think so. So you have to weigh the probability of what can happen and how low can it go and your risk tolerance. But, you know, you get to a certain point and you say, yeah, that looks pretty good. I mean, you know, I remember buying coffee at like 50 cents a pound. I mean, to me, again, where was it going to go? Go to zero? Okay, we're not going to drink coffee anymore. And that's one of the ways you want to play some of these alternatives is not try to trade them actively. But if you look for value, all right, if you look for something that, you know, is getting awfully cheap and not a stock, because a stock can go out of business, but a commodity is not going out of business. It may fall out of favor, but, you know, if you're looking, you know, at sugar, cotton, any of those things that get so cheap, and they will again, and they have, you want to be able to say, you know, let me go ahead and put that in my portfolio because it figures to get some sort of a move. And so you want to be a buyer generally of those things. And you know, again, you look at, you know, when silver was down, you know, around 12, 13, you know, you'd say, okay, so, I mean, I'm going to buy some silver. You know, gold was cheap. I want to buy some gold. But again, you're playing these more as a value proposition. Now, gold's a little bit different because gold is not consumable. All right. Whereas, you know, the other things are usable, consumable, and they will continue to be shorted. You know, there'll be a shortage at some point that you never know when. The market doesn't announce itself. But I think you look at, you know, the world of commodities, and you should look at those as basically a long-term investment type of situation, knowing that at some point there can be a move higher. And you want, and you can look on the other side when they get so ridiculously priced, it's sometimes going to be a seller. But again, for the most part, most people are better off being buyers of commodities, you know, unless you're active or you're farming. But if you're investing, you're better off being a buyer, but you're better off being a buyer when they get down to these depressed levels that it's just ridiculous. And that's something that, you know, we miss the boat on a lot because we get to the other side where we think, oh, my God, they're going to zero. Well, we know they're not going to zero, right? So if we know they're not going to zero and we know that we're going to continue to consume, then we want to be a buyer. And I think that's the way you look at this. And I believe that you're going to see when these markets start to move and start to correct a little bit, that there'll be some money moving in these spaces. Now, you know, I don't know if there's any great value at the moment, but certainly, even if you bought corn here, you know, at 360, 365, all right, you know, you're talking about an entire contract that's only worth 18 grand. You know, where are you going to go? You know, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, my risk reward, which is something that we always worry about, is not that bad. So if I can put myself in a position to find something that has value, you know, copper, you know, copper is consumable. Now it's been stuck in a range and it's bounced, but you know, when copper got down under $2, probably a pretty good spot to step in. You know, are we going to replace copper? And these are things, again, these are more logic problems, all right? These are more things that we look at from a standpoint of how can we advantage ourselves from this? Can we get value from this? And again, any good that is consumable, that is not controlled by a company, and is purely the good itself, you have a much better chance when you're trying to make a long-term investment. And that's what I look for, is the value proposition in where I'm not going to have to get up because I know that it's not going to zero. And that is something that, you know, you always want to look for, is the value, and especially when it's a value not controlled by a company. Because companies, as we all know, can go out of business. You know, the CEO gets accused of something. You know what I'm talking about. So, you know, but here, these are just raw. They are what they are. There's a market for them. And, you know, when you get down and oil gets down to a certain level, you know, and again, you know, now in my eyes, when oil gets down to about 40, that's probably the right level, you know. And this is the thing that we always want to look for is, again, we're value investors where we take most of the risk out of it. And that's where I think you have to, you know, base everything on is where can you become a value investor? So I'd be looking to get to the commodity space because I think this is going to be a big year for the commodities because I think there's a lot of things that are going to be in favor, including the dollar getting waxed. So I think that it's good to take a look at it. I don't have anything today, but we'll always continue to watch it for you and report what we do like. And we're going to get ready to step out here for a break. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you that my station, LibertyTalk.fm, is the only place you need to go, and you can get The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, BubbaTrading.com, you can get the new hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, which is always fun for me to do. And you can get that once a week, and sometimes this week I shot a midweek on the Fed. But check it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Final segment on the final day with March Madness, and you know, been really exciting because I love March Madness. I don't know, it's to me, it's there's nothing better than trading and watching basketball, right? Because I don't have to watch the idiots talk nonsense and crap on air because they're really getting me. They're getting to me. I don't know about you, but they're really getting to me. I mean, I'm getting so sick of the Trump rally and the reasons why they think it's going up, and then you got all these assholes that talk like they know what they're talking about, and you know, again, the market just goes straight up, and it's the Trump rally, we're going up because of Trump, and again, listen, don't get me wrong, Trump's doing a great job, and a lot of this is because of that, but I can't stand the cheerleading, because really, what they're cheering into is they're cheering into destroying the retail investors once again, the ones that don't listen to the Bubba Show, that don't understand that you have to manage that risk, and you get people pouring in their money, and it's amazing that in trading from a professional's standpoint, the two biggest quarters of the year are usually the fourth and the first, right? You come out of the fourth quarter, usually a lot of business, a lot of action, and you go right into the first quarter, which obviously brings in excitement, new stuff, and everybody's good to go and ready to rock and roll. And what we've had now is none of that. And I think this is where, you know, it makes it very challenging, because if we look at the VIX, the volatility index. All right. And if we go look at it over the last year, what we're going to see is that since the election in November, volatility has fallen and continues to trend lower. And that has made it extremely challenging. Now, again, obviously, for those that are just invested, and me too, okay? Again, remember, I'm always long the market no matter what. Now, I hedge against that, my positions, but I'm always long the stock market, except in the short term where I'll look for day trading to be short when markets get, you know, what I consider to be overvalued. But there's no trade, all right? Now, traders need trade. They need volatility. They need action. And we have had the worst. I mean, it's been 108 days, I think, since there's been a 1% move to the downside. And again, I'm not complaining that there hasn't been the move. But what I'm complaining about and what is hurting us as traders is we have not had the price volatility, the price swings. We've had the narrowest days of trading, okay? Now, again, obviously, we know. We've talked about this before. We know the markets historically and statistically go up. But when you start having a range of zero, I mean, you know, if we look at yesterday, for example, in the Dow, all right, you had the low of 20,900, all right, you had the high of 21,000. So you had a 100-point range. So you had a 0.5% move, swing, intraday, top to bottom, all right? The day before, the big Fed announcement, all right, you had 100-point swing, right? The day before that, you had a 60-point swing. I mean, you're talking about moves that are ridiculously quiet that don't bring opportunity. And this is when you get the complacency. I mean, you know, we had a stretch there. We had 6 days of the Dow in a row down. Do you realize the entire 6 days was only 1.2%? So this is the frustration, and this is what gives us more of the indication that things are melting or are boiling up a little bit into a disaster, because when you watch markets like this, and we don't go anywhere, in my eyes, the markets are searching for a reason to go down. I mean, they're searching for a big move. But in my eyes, it's that they're searching for a reason to go down. Because remember, you talk about dull markets drift higher. Why? Because, you know, every day, no matter what the market conditions are, money flows into the markets, okay? And buyers, either through your 401k, IRA, whatever, there's always money flowing in on the buy side. So with nothing else to do, markets will naturally drift higher. But I look for a market now that the markets are waiting on something, and we can't quite figure out what they're waiting on. But again, this happens a lot, and this can stay for a while. Again, this doesn't mean that it's going away, but markets are waiting to see something happen, and we know that it's not economic data, because for 8 years we had horrible economic data and the markets never budged. Now you're building up on a bunch of promises. The economic data is still not great, although the media would have you believe that it's great. But, you know, again, people are still not working, so we can't exactly get so excited. But to me, it looks like the markets are searching for a reason to go down. However, and this, let's compare this to Mr. Ackman, all right? I can tell you that they're going to go down, and they're going to break at some point. But the question is will I be broke before they break? See, that's the key in investing and in trading. When you're investing, if you're buying solid fundamental companies, that you know you can withstand, and you're not going to have to check the money out tomorrow, then you're pretty cool. You can hang tight. But if you're spending money that you don't have, and you're going to have to make a decision, you're probably not in good shape. So we can look for things to do, but again, when you're investing, you cannot touch money that you're going to need tomorrow, because you don't want to be forced to sell. You see, what always happens is you create the forced liquidation, and now the guy's got to sell, the girl, you know, the person, they got to sell because they need the money, so they're forced to sell out at the bottom. But there's a reason, and there's something that we have no idea what it is yet that is waiting to try to have the markets turn over. And in the meantime, until that event occurs, we could have this same type of action and the same drift higher, the same lack of volatility until. So one of the things you want to make sure is you don't want to be early. All right. You don't want to be early. You don't want to be the first one in line for the new restaurant. There will be plenty of time to act on this market. And it could be, and the breakout could be up too. Again, I'm not saying it can only be down, but you don't want to be the first one to be in action here. You want to be the one that looks and finds the solid footprint that the market leaves, because the market leaves a footprint, and the footprint right now is ugly. They're baby steps. And we need to see them become more than baby steps. We need to see giant steps. And until that happens, we're going to continue to be in this dull lull period of no markets and no real action, which is tests the mettle of every single trader out there. And the ones that can survive through this are the ones that are going to be able to make the big cake. But you got to be able to survive. And surviving is controlling your money and controlling your money. And tonight, you better control your alcohol consumption or get Uber, because it is St. Paddy's Day, historically one of the bigger imbibing days. And we'll call this the top of the cattle markets too, because we're going to call it the St. Paddy's Day Massacre. And let's see what happens. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we love sharing with you and bringing you information. You can get the show at libertytalk.fm and download it every day. In the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. And we'll come back ready to go on Monday with hopefully some markets that are ready to move in one direction or the other. And make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com and get a hold of Bubba's Bottom Line. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. Happy St. Paddy's Day. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.